Welcome to Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Sam, doing a recording from home again. Kyle's not with me today, but today we're going to continue the discussion on prayer, and we're going to do the part two of the six episodes that we're doing on prayer. And today we're going to be talking about ask and receive. You know, God tells us to ask and then says we will receive. We covered some of that in the part one episode about what's the most important prayer that's not being prayed. But today we're going to look at those passages, ask and receive. But we're going to find out that not everybody who asks receives. Why is that? Well, as we're going to find out, there's conditions. So today we're going to go through God's word and let his word explain to us how all this works. So let's open up in prayer. Father, we thank you again that you are a wonderful, almighty, and powerful God, a God that has mercy, a God that's willing to overlook sin, so that we can come in humility and receive a new heart and a new spirit, that we can be changed into the new creation, having sin removed and cleansed from our heart, being filled with the Spirit of God, having new desires and power to now walk and live in a manner worthy of our calling, to follow the example of Christ. Father, we also thank you that we can now have a meaningful prayer life with you, to pray and to ask the things according to your will, and it will be done. Father, I pray that as we read through your word, you'll teach and instruct, and let your spirit convict in the heart and mind of people, O God, that they will know the truth. We thank you, Father. Bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so starting off, I wanted to look at the example of Jesus real quick and then get into some passages in the Word of God. So to start, I wanted to look at Hebrews. Now in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 through 9, we're going to read about Christ. So it says, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. That's referring to his Father. And Jesus was heard because of his piety. Now, Jesus offered up prayers, and he also prayed to the Father, just as he instructed us to. But notice it says he was heard. Why? Because of his piety. Verse 8, and although Jesus was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Now, when we look at the example here of Christ, we're going to find out that his obedience, as we know later, he did everything that his Father commanded him, honored the Father, and the Father answered his prayers. Notice he says he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. You know, we recently did a episode on suffering, and in that, we actually talked about what it actually means to suffer. And those who are in the true grace of God, they suffer just as Christ. As a matter of fact, it says we've been called for that purpose. Listen to that episode if you haven't, and you'll learn more about the truth of God. So looking at some other passages about Christ, and this is important to understand here, because as we start going through looking at the ask and receive and the conditions, you're going to find out that many people don't have their prayers answered because they actually aren't living a life in the Spirit of God. Many people think they have the Spirit of God and they don't. And we've covered that many episodes. Have you been spiritually baptized and crucified? You know, even the one that we just talked about, the most important prayer that's not being prayed, asking for the Holy Spirit. But let's look at some other passages that are discussed about Jesus. Go back to the book of John. In John, see, we'll just go through in order. Let's look at John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, we're going to look at verse 32 to verse 36. And Jesus says, he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples were saying to one another, no one brought him anything to eat, did he? Then Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Now, Jesus is referring to his Father. The food that Jesus has to eat, he says, basically is to do the will of the Father. The food that Jesus has to eat is to accomplish the Father's will. That's what Jesus says. And then he continues, verse 35, "Do not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, look, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white for harvest. Already he who is reaping is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that he who sows and he who reaps might rejoice together." Again, just looking at some of the examples of Jesus' obedience, because this is important, really, to understand. Do we do the will of the Father? Are we laboring in the fields that are ripe for harvest? Are we reaping and gathering wages and fruit for eternal life? Are you? Is that your life? You know, as I think about that, another passage that just came to mind is Galatians chapter 6. Just turn to that and read it. Verse 7 through 9. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. The one who is sowing to his flesh will from his own flesh reap corruption. But the one who is sowing to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." What are you sowing towards? What have you been sowing to yesterday? What about today? Last week? What are you sowing? What's the focus of your life? Is the Spirit actively at work? What are you sowing? You see, it's going to come down when we find and we look at ask and receive. If you aren't doing the will of God, the Spirit's not actively at work, then you shouldn't expect to receive anything from the Lord. Another passage, John chapter 5. I want to look at verse 25 to 30. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so the Father gave the Son also to have life in himself. And the Father gave the Son authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice, and they will come forth." Now, we're all one day going to come forth from the tombs, assuming that we pass away and die in this earthly body before Jesus comes back. And there's going to be a resurrection. Do you know what Jesus says about which one inherits which resurrection? Well, verse 29. "Those who did good deeds to a resurrection of life, those committed evil to a resurrection of judgment. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Again, referring to the Father. You see how Jesus is making it a point about whose will does he do? It's all about the will of the Father. And you see, if he had not learned obedience to the things which he suffered and still was obedient to the Father's will, then he wouldn't have been in the will of God for God to fulfill his purpose for Christ. One last passage before we get to us, referring to Christ. Later on in John chapter 12, I want to read verse 49 and verse 50. Jesus speaking, "For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me. The Father has given me a commandment as to what to say and to what to speak. I know the Father's commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me." Jesus did all things. He spoke the words of his Father. He did the works of his Father. Now, let's go look at ourselves. You know, a lot of people have probably heard this verse before. It's about asking God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 to 21. "Now to him," referring to the Father, who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or imagine, according to the power that works within us. Now, you've probably heard that verse before. The question is the power working within us? You see, unless you've prayed the most important prayer that we discussed in part one, and you understood what you were giving up to receive that gift, the Holy Spirit, then the power is not in you. You haven't been changed and transformed, and the power is not going to be able to work in you. Now, maybe working around you. God's always working in darkness. Light's always working to try to draw people out of that darkness. And you may see the power and the work of God around you. The question is it in you? Until it's in you, well, then I don't know how you're going to expect God to work in you all these things, his power. Now, just before that, it talked whether or not you've been filled to all the fullness of God. After that, in chapter 4, verse 13, it talks about whether or not you've attained to the perfect man, to the measure of stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Until that happens, well, you're probably the only prayer that God really has that he can answer for you is when you come in humility to ask to receive the Holy Spirit. After that, when you're then able to do the will of God, just like Jesus did the will of the Father, then God also can answer and fulfill your prayers when you ask him, and you'll receive what you ask. Until you receive the Spirit of God, how do you know what to ask? And the things beyond, you know, the initial receiving the Holy Spirit. Let's go look at some more passages, and we're going to find out more about asking and receiving, and who are those that receive. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus tells us to ask. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 12, Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened." That's verse 7 through 8. Now, as you read there, it doesn't sound like there's any conditions. All you have to ask, if you ask, you receive. If you seek, you'll find. If you'll knock, you'll be given. It will be opened to you. We discussed a little bit of this in the part one prayer episode we did. Again, there are conditions. When you look at other places, it says you have to ask without doubting. In other places, it says you have to seek with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And of course, you have to be asking according to the will of God and truth. If not, you aren't going to be receiving. Now, as we continue to go through, we'll get into more scripture that gives more specific examples, but we're just kind of walking through these in order. Now, let's go look at John again. In John, we'll start in chapter 14. Verse 11 through 17. So Jesus speaking, "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who is believing in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father." Verse 13, "Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask the Father anything in my name, I will do it." So here, looking at that first group of verses, 11 through 14, Jesus says, "Believe because of the works that I do, that the Father's in me." Jesus goes on to say that the works that he does, we are to do also. And not only that, greater works. Do you believe that? Do you believe that we are to do the same works that Christ did? Do you believe that? If your faith does not believe that, then you're already doubting. You see, he says, "Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." You know, we're going to find out that the things that we're to be asking according to the will of the Father. The Father isn't glorified in our works. The Father is glorified in his works, just as Jesus glorified the Father by doing the will of God. But you can't do the will of God or know the will of God unless you have the Spirit of God. The Bible talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in the second half of the chapter. As Jesus continues, he says in verse 15 to verse 17, still in John chapter 14. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Now, the Spirit wasn't yet in them yet. They hadn't received the Holy Spirit. We did an episode on that. Don't be like the disciples before they received the Holy Spirit. But the question is, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I'll ask the Father, and he'll give you another helper, the Spirit of truth. That's to help us. So the key is, we must first come to Christ. We must receive the Spirit of truth. We must be changed. And when you're changed, the proof and the result is you're going to be able to love God. You're going to be able to keep the commandments. We did an episode, Love the Greatest Commandment. What is it? We also did an episode, The New Commandment is the Old Commandment. Listen to those episodes, and it will reinforce what these words mean. Continuing in John chapter 15, verse 5 through 10, Jesus says, speaking, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Do you see that? The question is, do you abide? If you abide in Christ, then he says, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. See, now we're getting to these conditions parts. But you see, not only that, if you don't abide, forget about asking. Not only will what you ask for not be answered, but you're going to be broken off and be cast and thrown away into the fire and be burned. It's imperative that we understand we're to be abiding and being led and walking in the Holy Spirit. Abiding in Christ, abiding in the Father, just as Jesus did, doing the same will of God. Growing the kingdom of heaven. If you do that, ask whatever you wish. It will be done. Verse 8, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Gets back to that bearing fruit. If we aren't bearing fruit, why would we expect to be asked and receive? If you aren't bearing fruit, the question is, are you really truly a son of God? Maybe you need to ask the first prayer that was never asked properly. If you did and you received power and your desires were changed and all sin was removed from your heart, and now you're going backwards with danger, if you don't continue to abide, you'll be broken off and cast into the fire. Verse 9, just as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. See, it's the same example. Jesus wasn't going around sinning. He kept the Father's commandments. He abided in the Father's love. We're commanded to do the same thing. Do you keep the commandments? Do you abide in the love? Do you know what that means? Do you truly know what that means? Do you know what the new commandment is? Go listen to the episode, The New Commandment is the Old Commandment. We're to be doers of the law. God commands it. These are his words, not mine. Do you know what it means to love? Do you know what love is? The love, the greatest commandment. Do you truly know what that means? We did an episode on that. We looked at what Jesus taught, what the apostles taught, and what was also taught in the Old Testament. It's the same thing. Go listen to that episode. You love God and you love your neighbor as yourself. He goes on to explain what that means. You don't sin against God. You don't sin against your neighbor. Those who still commit sin are a slave of sin. The slave doesn't get to remain in the house forever. John chapter 15, verse 16. Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Are you bearing fruit? This is what we are pointed to do. Are you abiding? You see, if you are not, or you cannot, then whatever you ask, then you are not going to receive. You're living a life of deception, no different than the many in the past who believe that they're servants of God, serving the one true God, but not in the righteousness or the power of God, but by their own righteousness and their own strength, because they haven't come to the righteousness of God of faith, because they don't even understand what it is. Let's go over to 1 John, more about asking and receiving. It's pretty consistent. One thing I like about the Word of God is, as long as you keep reading it, you'll get the full context. So in 1 John chapter 3, well, let's look at the passages, verse 19 to 24. He says, "We will know this. We will know by this that we are of the truth and will assure our hearts before Him," referring to the Father, "and whatever our heart condemns us." Does your heart condemn you? Do your thoughts condemn you? You know, the Bible says we're going to be judged according to the secrets of our heart. Jesus says if you still have thoughts of sin in your thoughts, that you still have the defiled heart that hasn't been cleansed. That gets back to getting the new heart. He says God is greater than our heart and knows all things. He knows all your thoughts. Verse 21, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, then we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and are doing the things that are pleasing in His sight." Now, you see, if your heart does condemn you or you have sinful thoughts, well, then you don't have confidence before God because you haven't received the new heart that's been cleansed of all sin. You haven't become the good tree or the good treasure, all the sin being cleansed. Until that happens, you cannot have confidence before God. Also, you cannot do the will of God. Verse 22, "Whatever we ask, we receive, because we are keeping His commandments and doing the things that are pleasing in His sight." You are unable to keep the commandments of God and do the things pleasing in His sight until you get a new heart and the new spirit. But when you do, and the Spirit's guiding you, and you're keeping His commandments and you're doing the things pleasing to God, well then yes, ask. Ask and it will be given to you. And the Spirit's going to guide you on what to ask for. You can have confidence. Ask, and it will be given. "This is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us." Love, as God says. God defined it, love being the greatest commandment. Love God and your neighbor as yourself. Defined it as not sinning against them. We covered it and went through all the passages in that episode. Verse 24, "The one who is keeping His commandments is abiding in Him, and He in Him. We know by this that He abides in us by the Spirit He has given us." You see, when you receive the Spirit of God, you're able to keep the commandments and you're able to abide in Him. You're able to do the things that are pleasing. Until that happens, you are not pleasing. Until that happens, you continue to come in prayer. You're like the Pharisee who prayed that God doesn't listen to his prayer because he doesn't understand he's still miserable, blind, wretched, and naked. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 to verse 15. "This is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, then we know that we have the requests which we have asked from Him." But the question is, do you ask according to the will of God? Do you have that confidence that was discussed earlier? Because your thoughts don't betray you. You do the things that are pleasing to God's sight. You're able to keep the commandments and love. Not as man defines it, not as you may think, but as God has defined it. Until that happens, you can ask and ask and ask, but you're still in trouble. Matthew. The key is asking in accordance with the will of God. See, even Jesus understood that. And so Jesus, in Matthew chapter 26, when he knew that his death was imminent, he knew that the sufferings through the beatings and the crucifixion were about to be upon him. In the garden, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 38 to 39, Jesus prayed something. Do you know what Jesus prayed and asked his Father? It says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain and keep watch with me.'" Verse 39, "And Jesus went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will.'" So Jesus asked for the cup to be taken away, to pass, the cup of the tribulation that he was about to undergo, the persecution and his death. But he also knew it wasn't about his will, it was about the Father's. And so, his request was not answered, but he also knew that the Father's will was most important. And that's the same for us. But when we have the Spirit of God, we'll know those things. Just as Paul knew that he was going to go to Jerusalem to suffer, and that death was awaiting him. But the will of God be done. I want to end in James. I covered this previously in episode number 1, but I want to reinforce it again. It's good to reinforce. Because with all these things, it's the many who think they're entering the kingdom of heaven that are on the narrow road that Jesus says are not, and are on the wide road of those that are seeking him, those that confess him as Lord. And the reason why is because they still commit sin, because they haven't been freed. And the reason why is they truly don't understand what the work of the Spirit does, and that that's what they need to ask. You see, in James chapter 1, it talks about two types of people, the perfect man and the man that lacks. But he tells the man that lacks, all he has to do is ask. But there's conditions with asking. In James chapter 1, verse 2, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various temptations, knowing that the proof of your faith is producing endurance. And endurance must be having its perfect result, so that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing." Now, that's the man that cannot boast in himself because he's been changed by the power of God. That's the man that can have the perfect result because he's been cleansed of all sin. He has the power and the fullness of God in him, just as Christ had, that we've covered many times. He has a proof of faith as evidenced by the fact that he overcomes the temptations, just as Christ did. But not everybody has that. As a matter of fact, many don't. But God tells us what to do in his word. Verse 5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." Now, as you keep reading, you realize there's conditions. "But he must ask in faith, without doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That man ought not expect to receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded and unstable in all his ways." You see, God wants us to ask to receive the Spirit of God, but there are conditions. We must ask in faith without doubting, and the faith that we ask must be the true faith. Do we really understand what's required of us? What's required to be a disciple? To follow Christ, to deny self, to pick up our cross. And I have an episode coming up that I'll do on that after the prayer. Again, in James chapter 4, those that ask and don't have, verse 2, "You lust and you do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and you quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask." But then in verse 3, he says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." And verse 5, "Do not think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose. God jealously desires the Spirit he has made to dwell in us." Father, I thank you for your word. Father, I thank you that we can come and have confidence and ask and receive what we ask. If we're true sons of God, if we truly have the Spirit of God, have been changed into a new creation, cleansed of all sin, empowered by the Spirit of God within us, that's able to do all beyond that we can ask or imagine according to your power that works within us. If we're abiding and doing the things that are pleasing in your sight, keeping the commandments and doing your will, because the Spirit of God will lead us to ask the things according to your will. Father, I thank you for your word. It is so good. It's harmonious. It reinforces the truth. Father, I pray that more and more people will come to the truth, be freed from sin, live and abide by the Spirit of God, doing the will, O God, the work and the will of you, O God, which is our bread, our daily bread. Father, be blessed in our lives. Let our lives be a living and holy sacrifice to you, O God, as your Spirit controls us. For those that don't, O God, I pray that they'll humble themselves. They won't be prideful or arrogant. They'll accept in humility their current state that they don't have power. And they'll come in humility and ask, because that's the most important prayer that's not being prayed by many people who think they've come into fellowship and haven't. We thank you, Father, and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.